Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Sam Cisse, the Director General of the FAO, Dr. Graciano, Professor Von Braun, Director for Center for Development Research in Germany, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, all protocol observed. Actually, it is a great pleasure and an honor for me to be available to honor the instruction of my president to represent him and give the keynote address to this august body, the 25th session of the Committee on Agriculture. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you greetings from His Excellency the President, Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma, the President of Sierra Leone. And actually, I also bring you his regrets for not being with us in person today, and this is because he is responding to other international and national matters. Actually, the title of my presentation this morning is Food and Nutrition Security, a prerequisite for sustainable development in Africa. And I would like to start by giving the context for agricultural development in Africa. Agriculture is the largest sector of our economy, or the economy of sub-Saharan Africa. This sector actually employs about over 60% of the workforce and contributes over 30% of our GDP in sub-Saharan Africa. But our production systems are very diverse, very dynamic, and so much so that today we have diverse ecosystems, we have diverse staple food crops, and if we want to compare to Asia, for example, where the main production system is irrigated system and the main crop is rice production, Africa has got excess of 13 staple food, not to mention other commodities that we are cultivating in Africa. And some issue, slight problem, relates to the fact that while Asia went into intensification and Latin America did the same, they achieved the Green Revolution. But the Green Revolution bypassed Africa, and we are still struggling today to get to that Green Revolution. But some of the key problems that we do encounter is the fact that our yields comparatively are lower than other regions of the world. We have problems of post-harvest handling, storage facilities, and quality products due to inadequate attention to food safety and aflatoxin problems. And therefore, over the years, we've seen a reduction in the competitiveness of African product in the world market, in the world trade. And over the years, for example, we've seen a reduction in our competitiveness from something like 8% in the 70s to around 2% today. And this is resulting to a loss of about $70 billion annually that should have come to Africa. So it's not surprising that at the beginning of the 2000 era, NEPAD calls for all countries to increase production to 6%. And this translates to something like 4.4% total factor productivity, which could be achieved through increase in land, labor, and water productivity. It is not surprising that in 2003, Maputo heads of state came up with a declaration that every country should invest up to 10% of their national budget in agricultural activities, and that is to boost agricultural activities in the region. I must confess that we've seen an increase in the investment in agriculture by our national governments, but only few countries have achieved that 10%, and some have gone beyond that 10%. And so today, we see that countries that have achieved that level of investment or gone beyond that level of investment are showing strong agricultural activities, moving towards attaining food security in those countries. In 2014, our heads of state summit in Malabo also came up with a declaration that Africa should end hunger in 2025. And this actually endorses the recommendation of the United Nations for zero hunger by 2030. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here representing my president, and he's a person, a man of foresight, he's a man of vision, and he believes that each country in Africa, including Sierra Leone, should prioritize food and nutrition security for several reasons. We in Africa need to increase food and nutrition. We need to increase agricultural production and productivity to ensure food availability, accessibility, and stability of food availability and accessibility. As indicated earlier on, we need to enhance investment in agriculture, but we need to do that through smallholder commercialization program. Even if our farmers are practicing subsistence agriculture, they need to commercialize their agriculture. They should produce food, not just for the table, but also for the market. And Africa, we need to reduce poverty, especially in rural areas where the majority of our population live and work. Permit me, Mr. Chairman, to give you a brief history of where we are in Sierra Leone with our own agricultural policies and achievements. I have mentioned this, and I'm going to say it again, that my president is a man of vision and with a lot of foresight. And soon after he assumed office, for the first time, this was in 2007, he came up with an agenda for change, which was to ensure integrated efforts amongst the various arms of government. And that went on for 5 years. And we saw the impact that that's made in our economy. And then by 2013, he commissioned the Agenda for Prosperity, which calls for Sierra Leone to attain an inclusive green middle-income country by 2035, make projection, outline milestones that could be achieved every year until we get to 2035. And that inclusiveness calls for general development that will affect everybody, including the masses. Prosperity for all Sierra Leoneans. The green is a clear indication that agriculture should propel that growth, and that agriculture should propel growth not only within agriculture, but outside to support other sectors of the economy. That is the vision of our president. And he continues to believe in the framework, development of framework as a guide to where you want to go over a protracted period of time. So Sierra Leone was one of the first countries to develop the CADEP Compact, for example. We're one of the first countries to provide our investment plan in the name of National Sustainable Agricultural Development Plan. And that plan was accepted by our partners. It was accepted by the development partners to the extent that the World Bank supported our first smallholder commercialization program. We've gone through 5 years of that program. It has created a lot of impact in the country. But we're going into another phase of that program to be supported by the World Bank and VFID this time. But now the program is known as the Smallholder Commercialization and Agribusiness Development Plan. We want to bring in the private sector to participate with agriculture, with research to drive the development process, to drive agricultural development programs. We have several other projects. The GAPS program, the Global Agriculture and Food Security program, supported by the World Bank, but implemented in Sierra Leone by IFAD, the International Fund for Agricultural Development. Several other initiatives linking farmers to market and value chain approach, you know, to promote key commodities as staple food crops like rice, cassava, sweet potato, and also cash crops like coffee, cocoa, cashew, and oil palm. So we are making progress in that front. And in fact, the A4D, the Agenda for Prosperity, was working so well that by first quarter of 2014, Sierra Leone was the second fastest growing economy in the world. Our GDP went up to 11.5% and projected to get beyond 15% for 2014. Then, unfortunately, disaster struck. The Ebola came in. And the Ebola virus disease, I'm sure all of you heard about it. And for us, that was a big disaster. And I want to talk about it a little bit, mainly because I see the steps that we took, the approach that my president put in place to fight Ebola. And thank God, 18 months after, by November 2015, the World Health Organization declared Sierra Leone Ebola free. But Ebola was a menace. It was a problem. It brought an impasse, an economic shutdown. Several of the mineral companies left Sierra Leone. There was complete shutdown in two of such big companies. And even those that stayed behind and were working, they reduced our workforce by half, by quarter time of work. Our economy was dependent on minerals. And that was an eye-opener because we saw it drop from 11% to something like 4% GDP growth rate during that period. It was difficult. But my president, as usual, championed that fight. He went, traveled the length and breadth of the country. Every week, I was with him at that time because I was his special advisor, an ambassador at large for the country. And I had special responsibility to advise him on a daily basis, the effect of Ebola in our country. And so I traveled with him. Every Friday we are on the road, come back on Saturday to go to the office on Monday, to visit districts, chiefdoms, towns, cities, villages, just to deliver the social mobilization message from His Excellency and to mobilize the people. The traditional leaders, paramount chiefs, the councillors, the religious leaders, and also the youth vigilante group and women's group. It was a fight that was championed by our president. And the prediction was that millions of people will die in the three countries, most affected countries, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. Thank God, in Sierra Leone, eventually we had just under 400 deaths. It's painful because Sierra Leone is a small country of 7.2 million. So the Ebola touched everybody. It touched every family. If you are not losing your father, you're losing your uncle, you're losing your brother, your wife, your sister's family went. It was a difficult period, but it was championed and defeated by our president, Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma. And being a man of vision, what did he do after that? He came up with the post-Ebola recovery priorities. And these priorities is a plan that actually should take us to where we were when Ebola struck, get to that point and then begin to move on with the agenda for prosperity. The key objective was to create jobs for the youths, to ensure value chain approach, and increase agricultural production and productivity, promote mechanization and commercialization of our agriculture through intensification and diversification of our production systems. Government gave support. The development center partners gave support. But the support from the government was very crucial, particularly to agriculture that actually showed resilience, you know. So the recovery plan is really working. Had it not been for agriculture, probably more people would have died. But even when some of our farmers were quarantined, agriculture continued to flourish in the country. And that was an experience that we are now using in this recovery plan, mobilizing all the people to participate in the recovery plan. We are just 3 months in the second phase of this plan, and Sierra Leone is very hopeful that this will help. And we're looking at all aspects, including nutrition security and also food safety issues. But, ladies and gentlemen, what should be the focus? What should be the objective for agricultural development in countries in Africa? Africa must eradicate hunger, end absolute poverty, and reduce rural poverty. Poverty is in the rural area. Africa must monetize rural economy, exploit what we now call the $1 per day, which comes from mostly our farmers. Apparently, the people that earn $1 per day are in their millions. They cut across countries in Africa, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, millions. And I don't know if we've not actually thought of investing in these millions of people that are holding hundreds of billions of dollars to take them out of that circle and take them to $4 per day or $5 per day. It's a big and very lucrative investment, but somebody must be bold to take that step. And I think that just even providing the necessary incentive, it could be cash incentive, it could be other incentive, is an investment that will revamp that society and let them to get out of that vicious cycle, you know, of poverty. And so we must try to do that, monetize rural economy, the farmers' economy. We must commodify agricultural product. I've talked of the value chain, and I've talked of private sector investment. Every product, whether it's rice, whether it's cocoa, cash crop, staple food crop, we must go through the value chain, we must add value in Africa, and then attract the market, whether it's domestic market or international market. I think that this is really very key for Africa. And another thing, what I see over the years is small agricultural program. We've been supported to keep our agriculture small. I don't see the big plantations. I don't see the big factories that you see in other regions of the world. Africa must think big. Africa must make its agriculture big. Actually, small programs breeds fragmentation. And Africa must reduce fragmentation. Africa must reduce and minimize duplication of efforts. And I think we should attract the donor community to come to Africa. It's very important that they should come to Africa. Resolve donor fatigue. And I believe that if we make our agriculture big, the donors will want to come in. After all, 40% of the world's available arable land is in Africa. Africa has got the mineral resources. The world requires our resources. And we should bargain to get that resources to build Africa, to get them to work with us to build Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, I would like to say that Africa has got the resource endowment, whether it's minerals, whether it's appropriate agricultural environment, and we should use that to bargain to strengthen our position in the international markets. Asia, Latin America achieved the Green Revolution, and I believe that Africa's Green Revolution is coming. It's coming sooner than we expected, but we should learn from the mistakes of Asia and Latin America. We must make agro-business a business in Africa. Even if you are subsistence farmers, you must be a business farmer. And it is us in this room that should help our people, you know, to make sure that even our subsistence farmers produce, not just for the table, but produce for the market to improve their income. The big private sector should manage plantations, yes, but they should be in all aspects of our agricultural development. And I think that this is very important. The youths should be engaged to participate effectively through development of SMEs. And we should be able to support them to do that, give them seed money to be able to do that. We must empower our women, because over 60% of our agricultural work is done by our women. They must be empowered to be at all levels, decision-making, right to land, right to resources. They should participate in that. Ladies and gentlemen, Africa must reduce importation because of those commodities that we can produce. And I'll tell you one thing. As an agriculturist and a scientist, I know that some of the products that we import into Africa are no better than our local production. Our local production are freshly harvested, and they are supposed to have much more nutritional value than some of the products that gets into Africa. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Africa will soon become the breadbasket of the world. With the resources that we have, with the potential that we've got, we should be able to produce enough to feed ourselves and enough to feed the world. But I would hasten to say that we have to turn that potential to reality, to increase production and productivity, and Africa will find itself in the center of the world development agenda. Thank you very much for your patience, and thanks. And God bless all of us. Thank you.